Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, on February 4th, that's tomorrow, the United Nations will again celebrate Human Fraternity Day document created by the Pope and the Prince. That almost sounds like a Disney movie. Today, we're going to present you with a whole box full of end times puzzle pieces that, with the Holy Spirit's leading, we will endeavor to put together and connect all the dots so you can see what's going on. For example, did you know that the Declaration of Human Fraternity, which is the constitution of the one world religion of Chrislam, was created by Pope Francis and sold to the Muslims by Mohammed bin Zayed? Furthermore, did you also know that the Abraham Accords, not created by Jared Kushner and Donald Trump, actually comes from Mohammed bin Zayed and Pope Francis? Have you ever asked yourself why these two end times characters would team up to do this? Well, we've asked that question. Psalm 83, verses 3 through 5. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. Could Psalm 83 possibly be referring to the Abraham Accords? Well, keep an open mind, and by the end of the program today, you just may see it that way. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, tomorrow, Saturday, February 4th, is the UN Day of Human Fraternity. And not too much longer past that, we shall see the opening of the Abrahamic Family House in Abu Dhabi, the headquarters for the One World Religion of Chrislam. On the Abraham Accords front, Netanyahu is in Paris, as you read this, deep in talks with Emmanuel Macron, and business is booming. Right now, there are 7 or 8 Muslim nations on the verge of joining the Accords, including the nation of Sudan. In other news, a Chinese spy balloon was spotted yesterday over the nuclear missile silos over the northern United States. And no, the balloon was not shot down. Russia is preparing to release 500,000 new ground troops into Ukraine as Putin warns that he is going to, quote, gain the world's attention on the one-year anniversary of the Ukraine war, which is in just about 21 days from today. All this and so much more on this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for waking us up today. We thank you for the food on the table, the clothes on our back, and the roof over our head. We are glad, we are grateful, we are appreciative, Lord. Today we pray for Annetta, that she would have a complete healing after a stroke last year, and that she would walk on her own again. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and he needs prayer. We have a number of women who are pregnant and waiting to deliver their babies. Please keep Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, and Reagan Gorzel in your prayers. Also, Stephen Wilder would like prayers for his son and son's wife. Her water broke the other night, Wednesday night, but she's not due for a few months. And I'll see if I can get an update from Brother Stephen about that. Jeanette's cousin Andrew had a stroke, and we're praying for him. Rob Beattie's colon cancer has come back. We're praying for a complete recovery for him. Kate is asking for prayers concerning her housing situation, and an unspoken as well. Mark Saxa would like us to pray for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Charlie Kammerman needs prayer for recovering after having hip surgery. Laura Camp Poy needs prayer for recovering after a bad motor scooter accident last year. We're still praying for baby Addie, who was in the hospital with RSV, and that's a respiratory disease. Please pray that baby Addie gets well soon. Clayton Perry is suffering from the side effects of chemotherapy, and we're lifting him up today. The LaPiana family has an unspoken prayer request. Craig Arford needs prayer for pancreatic cancer. Barbara Gordon, she just got out of the hospital last week and came to visit us at the bookstore. And that was a blessing. And she asked if we could pray for her six children, her 14 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren, and the improvement of her health with a closer walk with God. Amen. Chris Hart has a time-sensitive unspoken prayer, and we're lifting that up. Kathy Kelly would like prayers for her Navy son, Danny. And Kathy, if you're listening, please give us an update on Danny. He was very, very sick the other day, and they were considering taking him to the hospital. Rapture 57 has a bad case of COVID. We're praying for her. Marie Shiroki, well, this is an old prayer request from the other couple days ago, but we're going to pray for street preacher Marie anyway. She said to me earlier today that the Lord is working on her with patience, and that's a good thing. So please remember Marie Shiroki in your prayers today. Catherine B. Catherine B. needs prayer, ongoing issues with her heart, and dialysis. Please remember Catherine B. in your prayers. Sada's father had a heart attack this morning and is in the ICU. He is saved, but we're going to pray that the Lord would give him a healing. Aaron says, I love the NTEB podcast and listen every day to the Bible studies and the prophecy news for about 2 years now. I am 12 weeks pregnant, and I am asking for a healthy pregnancy and baby. And my sister's cancer has spread from her breast to her liver, so we're trying to find out what's next in line for that treatment. So we are going to add, or Jeanette and Lorianne are going to add Aaron Riddle to a separate category on our prayer list of women who are pregnant. And we will definitely be lifting up Aaron and her baby and her sister's cancer, that the Lord would give a healing there. Sarah Riddell, Sarah Riddell and her husband no longer have COVID, and they are recovering. And I have to say, I'm a little bit envious. They recovered in about half the time that I did. But amen, we are so glad. We love praise reports like that. Kat needs prayer. She's not feeling well. Palmetto State Guy, praise report. My mom was she had a stroke last year. My mom, Eunice, was discharged from the hospital. Her resistant bacteria from a UTI was cleared via prayer and strong antibiotics. Amen. Please continue to pray for her to recover from her stroke. We absolutely will. Lola says, my mother's 93. She was on death's door on Wednesday. Yesterday, she was sweeping the kitchen. Kind of reminds me of Peter's mother-in-law. And she was sick to death in her bed, and Jesus healed her, and she rose up and immediately ministered to them. So we praise the Lord for Lola's mother having a little bit of a recovery there. She says, God answered my prayer. He sure did. He sure does. She is in congestive heart failure. And Lola says, but she's something, though. She just wants to be useful. I told her just to tell her friends about Jesus. Amen. Char says, hey, quick prayer for me. I need to make a decision on whether or not I should stay at the pregnancy clinic that I volunteer at. issues are coming up that are not biblical, and it makes me not want to be there. And we will pray that the Lord gives you guidance on that. Rob has an unspoken prayer request. Kat, please pray for my husband. Fluid behind his ears and sinus infection. Heath says, pray that I can keep resisting temptation. It's a battle I don't always win. We don't always win that battle. That's true. And that's just a factual reality. But we are called to fight that battle and fight it against the world, the flesh, and the devil on a daily basis. You know what the Bible says about that? 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul says, I fought a good fight. That's the fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's a fight that the Apostle Paul had to fight every single day of his life, just like you do, just like I do. Sometimes we win, sometimes we crash and burn. But we are called to fight that fight and to fight that battle. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And that is true. Your flesh is headed for the dumpster. It's headed for the graveyard. It's headed for the worms. Paul says, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. But Paul says this in verse 24, and this is what gives all of us hope. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's a really good question. And verse 25 gives you the answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Heavenly Father, we come before you, we thank you, we praise you. We ask for a healing for everybody on our prayer list. And maybe there's people in the chat room or people listening that didn't get their prayer onto the list, Lord, but you know it. You hear it. We ask you to give everybody who needs a touch to touch them, heal them. Heal me, Lord. Take care of my cough and get the last bit of these germs out of my body and restore me to full health. And Lord, for everybody on this prayer list who needs a touch and who needs restoration, we ask you, God, to work and move and do something, Lord, to get in this thing, to rule and overrule in the affairs of all of our lives. And help us today, Father God. And we thank you. We praise you. We commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've had a number of messages from people saying, praise the Lord, you've recovered. First part of that message is really good. It is always a good time to praise the Lord. But I have not fully recovered. I'm not contagious. I no longer have COVID, but I definitely have the mess that COVID left behind. So if you could, please continue to pray for my cough, that it would go away. Please continue to pray that just this lingering sickness that I still feel every single day, that would go away. And a number of people have told me that they have felt that after having COVID. Lorianne has experienced that as well. She just posted, I am experiencing brain fog, fatigue, and intermittent nausea. Jose says residual cough usually stays for about 6 weeks. Oh boy. Well, I'll tell you, if you guys can put up with me coughing through the program, I can put up coughing to do the program. And you know what? We are called to the fight. And I'm a firm believer, and I try very hard to practice what I preach. I try very, very hard to practice what I preach. I call you guys to the fight, and I'm always calling you guys to the fight and to step up. And I do the same thing myself. I probably could have enjoyed another 2 weeks not broadcasting to recuperate and recover. But you know what? I couldn't wait to get back behind the microphone. I couldn't wait to get back on the front lines of the end times because we are called to the fight. We are called to the battle. And I feel it just as strongly as every one of you feel that. So let's talk today. We have so many different stories that are weaving their way in and out. And we have communist Chinese spy balloons over Montana. Now, I don't know about you, but just imagine if you were the president of the United States. Just imagine. And our enemy, communist China, floats a spy balloon over Montana. Now, you would think to yourself, well, besides Shea Caster and a couple of other people, what's in Montana? Well, I'll tell you what's in Montana. A whole battery of American nuclear missile silos. That's what's in Montana. And that's what the Chinese weather balloon was looking for. Now, if you were the president of the United States, wouldn't you want to shoot down this spy balloon that's trying to get as much information as possible from the parts of your country that contain nuclear missile silos? I don't know about you, but if I was the president of the United States, I would give a one-time warning. I would say, you have 5 minutes to reverse the course of that balloon. And if they did not reverse the course of that balloon in 5 minutes, I would have instructed the military to immediately shoot it down. And to do it in a fashion that would send a message. And then, after that balloon was shot down, I would put the video of the destruction of that balloon on every single nightly news channel. But there's a reason why Joe Biden turned to the military and ordered them to stand down. I mean, that's really kind of like the sub-story here. Joe Biden told the military to stand down. And he said, do not shoot that balloon down. And the reason why he told the military to stand down is because Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and the entire Biden crime family is deeply, very deeply in bed with the communist Chinese government. When Joe Biden, remember his documents that got discovered at the Penn Biden Center in Delaware? Do you know who paid $54 million to build that fancy chrome and glass structure, this monument to Joe Biden? $54 million was given by an anonymous communist Chinese donor. Hunter Biden received millions and millions and millions of dollars from the communist Chinese government while Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States. And the reason why Joe Biden could not and would not shoot that balloon down is because Joe Biden is highly compromised. And this is why the legacy media, when they pulled out all the stops to prevent the Hunter Biden laptop from coming to light. People like, what's his name? They call him Pencil Neck. What is his name? They just kicked him off one of the committees. Oh, I can't remember his name. But the reason why various key Democrats covered for the Biden family, the reason why the legacy media refused to talk about the Hunter Biden, Adam Schiff, thank you, Dennis, Adam Schiff, thank you. The reason why all of this is happening is because Joe Biden is compromised. And that is what they're trying to prevent from coming to light. Joe Biden is absolutely, highly compromised. So let's check in with our friend Tucker. He had a lot to say about this Chinese spy balloon. Let's take a listen.
This is a Fox News alert and a very strange story. The Pentagon, as you may have heard, is now tracking a very high-altitude Chinese spy balloon over the northern United States. Apparently, it's over Montana right now. You're seeing photographs of that balloon on your screen. The Pentagon has decided for some reason not to shoot down the balloon, even though they say it's flying over some, quote, sensitive sites. So there are intercontinental ballistic missile silos in that area. What is this? Joining us now is Jamil Jaffer from the National Security Institute. Jamil, thanks so much for coming on. This, you know, presidents make a lot of complicated decisions. This doesn't seem complicated. There's a Chinese spy balloon. Why not shoot it down? What do you think is happening here?
Yeah, it's a great question, Tucker. You know, what's really interesting about this incident is that the Defense Department has made clear that this isn't the first time that we've seen Chinese spy balloons over U.S. territory in the past. What's interesting about this particular incident is the fact that we've called it out, we've made it public, and that they actually froze the airspace over Billings, Montana, and put planes up thinking about taking the shot. Now, why they didn't take the shot, why they didn't take it down, hard to know, Tucker. But it's worth noting, back in 2001, the Chinese forced down an American spy plane on Hainan Island, kidnapped U.S. airmen and airwomen for a number of days, and stole a bunch of surveillance assets off that plane. Now, that was almost two decades ago.
So you almost answered my question. Do you think if the American Pentagon floated a spy balloon over Chinese missile bases, that Chairman Xi would say, you know, I'm not really sure how to respond. Maybe we should just let it keep floating.
Yeah, look, I think that's highly unlikely. I mean, you saw Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan just a few months back, and Kevin McCarthy is going to Taiwan shortly, and the Chinese were threatening to shoot down Nancy Pelosi's plane. So, you know, it's clear that the Chinese would take action. It's surprising that we're not.
You want to be as fair as you can in situations like this because there's so much we don't know, but and you're tempted to leap to the conclusion these people are completely impotent. But could there be a good reason they're not shooting it down?
Well, you know, you could say that they wanted to see where it's going to go, what it's trying to track. Is it looking at our ICBMs? Is it looking at something else? They may be collecting information off of it, too. So there's a possibility there are good reasons for not shooting it down. But it is odd that you would announce it, make it clear that you've seen it, and then not take action.
Well, that's exactly right. It's such a smart observation. I appreciate it. Jamil Jaffer, thank you so much.
Thanks, Tucker.
Subscribe to the Fox News YouTube channel.
So that's what Tucker had to say about this weather balloon. It kind of reminds me 1947 in Roswell, New Mexico, where the United States government tried to make people believe that it was a weather balloon that had crashed, when in reality it was a spaceship. So we see that the entire Biden crime family highly, highly compromised. This is why Adam Schiff and the rest of the Democrats, they tried to say that the Hunter Biden laptop was planted by the Russians, and they've kept that story up for about 2 years. And you know what the funny thing is? And this is part of what makes me so mad at the Republican Party, is when you have people like the Democrats who lie consistently, day in, day out, and then the Republicans get into power, they never make the Democrats pay for the lies that they were told. And yeah, I understand. They booted Ilhan Omar off of one of the committees, and Adam Schiff and a couple of other guys. They have booted them off. But to me, that just seems far too little of a consequence to pay for over 2.5 years of the phony Russian collusion. And technically, It's about 4.5 years because Trump had to put up with a 2.5 year investigation from Mueller. And then the legacy media and the Democrats blamed the Hunter Biden laptop on the Russians for another 2 years after that. But this is why Joe Biden can't do anything about the Chinese spy balloon. This is why he can't do anything about China taking over Taiwan. Because if he did, the Chinese would start to drop the information that they have on Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and every member of the Biden family. And again, Tucker yesterday, he had a lot to say about the corrupt Biden crime family. Take a listen to this.
Living in a non-democracy when it's dangerous to displease the ne'er-do-well children of the supreme leader. If you were, for example, at a red light in pre-invasion Baghdad and Uday Hussein came screaming up behind you drunk in his Lamborghini, you got the hell out of the way and you did not complain about it. And you didn't complain about it because Uday's dad ran the place and you did not want to make him mad. You might wind up like the members of his personal soccer team who dared to miss penalty kicks. That's what third world countries are like. All citizens are not equal in countries like that. Power derives from proximity to power. And that means the second most powerful people in a country like that are the children of the president. And very often they don't have jobs and are addicted to something. That's the way it works in places like that. And for a long time, that system seemed very foreign to most Americans. They were used to living in a democracy. They could barely even imagine it. But then, during the last presidential campaign, Joe Biden's daughter abandoned her diary somehow in a house she was staying at in Florida after she got out of rehab. And in that diary, Ashley Biden recounted how her father had taken showers with her when she was young, and she attributed her later sexual compulsions to that experience with her father. So by any standard, that seemed like clear evidence of abuse.
All right, so we're going to stop Tucker right there. Can you imagine? I want you to think about this for just a second. If a diary, let's say Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump's daughter, can you imagine what the legacy media and the Democrats would do with a diary from Donald Trump's daughter talking about being forced to take showers with him as a teenager and then having this mental scarring from whatever actually took place during the shower affecting her sex life in later years? Can you imagine if the Democrats or the fake news media had a diary like that written by Donald Trump's daughter? What do you think that they would do with a diary like that? You know exactly what they would do with a diary like that. That would be headline news all day, every day for 3 solid months. And yet, when Joe Biden's daughter writes that exact same thing, being molested by her father in the shower as a teenager, suddenly, that's not news to anybody.
And yet no law enforcement agency, so far as we know, ever asked Joe Biden about it. Instead, once Joe Biden became president, his FBI raided the home of journalist James O'Keefe and seized the evidence. Ashley Biden's diary was taken by force and has never been seen again. So the message was unmistakable. When Uday Hussein blows by in his Lamborghini, get the hell out of the way, peasant. Princelings have power. You do not. By the way, Hunter Biden's whole life has been a monument to that message. Despite a decades-long drug problem and no record of legitimate achievement of any kind, Hunter Biden has managed to accumulate the highest possible academic credentials. Georgetown and Yale Law. Don't try that at home. As well as what appears to be millions and millions and millions of dollars. How did he do that? You couldn't do it, but then you're not Joe Biden's son, and that's how he did it. He cut business deals with corrupt countries that his father was conducting diplomacy in as vice president of the United States. And then we know from evidence that he apparently planned to kick back some of that money to his father as part of the deal, 10% for the big guy. Now, that's completely illegal. And yet neither Hunter Biden nor his father, Joe Biden, have ever been indicted for doing that. Instead, and here's the best part, the real criminals, we learned yesterday, are the people who dared to talk about it. Yesterday, Hunter Biden's legal team released a letter demanding that Joe Biden's friends imprison anyone who criticizes Joe Biden's son. So these letters call on the Department of Justice, which Joe Biden controls, and Delaware Attorney General Kathy Jennings from Joe Biden's state to file criminal charges against Republicans who dared to possess and share the contents of his son's now famous laptop.
So Tucker just told you that Joe Biden is using his power and influence as president of the United States to make it a crime if any Republican dares to reveal the actual, not just talk about it, but to show visible and physical proof of all the items that are contained on Hunter Biden's laptop. And this is a story that does not get a lot of traction. You never hear this story in the mainstream legacy media, the dinosaur media. But this is possibly the biggest story in America right now. And Hunter was comparing and contrasting how the Biden administration, just like the ruling family in Iraq with Saddam Hussein and his children, were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. They could rape women. They could steal things. They could shoot people. They could kill people. And justice never came within 100 miles of any of them. And Tucker is comparing what's going on in the Biden administration with what went on with the Saddam Hussein dictatorship in Iraq. And I think it's a relatively fair comparison. And it's shameful and it's horrible what Joe Biden is allowed to get away with, and how the legacy media covers for him, and these stories are never reprinted. They're never reposted.
And that list would include, among others, John Paul McIsaac, the owner of the Mac repair shop where Hunter Biden abandoned said laptop. According to Hunter Biden's high-paid lawyers, John Paul McIsaac should be in prison for doing this. Quote, Mr. McIsaac chose to work with Donald Trump's personal lawyer to weaponize Mr. Biden's personal computer data against his father, Joseph R. Biden. In other words, John Paul McIsaac didn't want Joe Biden to become president, and apparently that's now a federal crime. But wait a second, back up a sec. Does that mean we can now say with certainty that laptop is real? If we can say that, that means that Adam Schiff, who's now running for Senate in California, had better issue a statement pronto correcting his previous categorical claims about the laptop. Here was Adam Schiff in October of 2020 when he chaired the House Intelligence Committee.
Does it surprise you at all that this information Rudy Giuliani is peddling very well could be connected to some sort of Russian government disinformation campaign?
Well, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin. That's been clear for well over a year now that they've been pushing.
All right, I have to stop that right there. Did you hear what Adam Schiff said? He is such a pathological liar. We know that this attack on Joe Biden comes directly from the Kremlin. They didn't know that. In fact, they knew the opposite. They knew that the information on that laptop of Hunter Biden was so damning and so damaging to Joe Biden that they had to go to any lengths possible, including concocting a story that is 100% false from beginning to end, sticking to that story, repeating that story as a group, and then having the dinosaur media to repeat that story. until that's all you hear over and over and over and over again. The Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. The Hunter Biden laptop has no connection to the nation of Russia. It has no connection to Vladimir Putin. But it does have tremendous connections to the government of communist China, to the government of Ukraine, after the Obama administration staged a coup in 2014. And it does have plenty of information regarding the tens of millions of dollars that flowed into the pockets of Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, and the rest of the Biden crime family.
Pushing this false narrative about the vice president and his son.
We know this comes from the Kremlin, Adam Schiff said. And of course, Adam Schiff would know, since he, unlike you, had access to top secret information. You weren't allowed to see it. He did see it, and on the basis of that knowledge, told you it was from the Kremlin. And it's exactly what dozens of former intel officials told you. They saw the evidence, and this was from Russia. So now it looks like they were all lying. According to Hunter Biden's lawyers, quote, Mr. McIsaac unlawfully shared Mr. Biden's property with third parties. His property. He owned it. It was his. Yes, the laptop, according to Hunter Biden's lawyers, belonged to Hunter Biden. It did not come from the Kremlin. That's settled. Except, wait, no, it's not settled. Because today we got yet another statement from Hunter Biden's lawyers, and they seem to revise the first statement. Here's today's statement, and we're quoting. These letters do not confirm McIsaac's or others' versions of a so-called laptop. They address their conduct of seeking, manipulating, and disseminating what they allege to be Mr. Biden's personal data wherever they claim to have gotten it. So in other words, we believe the government should send these people to jail for possessing stolen property that belonged to Hunter Biden, but that so-called property may not actually exist and may not even belong to Hunter Biden. That's their argument. It's a novel legal theory, actually. In fact, it's so novel, it's totally incoherent. It's like prosecuting somebody for stealing your imaginary car. But even if we can agree that the laptop is real and not a deep fake produced by some diabolical Russian AI program, and again, neither Hunter Biden nor his lawyers have conceded that yet, maybe they will tomorrow. But even if we could all agree on that, there is another more fundamental problem. And it's this. Hunter Biden signed an agreement acknowledging that if he left his device at John Paul McIsaac's repair shop in Delaware for more than 90 days, if he didn't pick it up, he would forfeit ownership of it. He wrote that. No one disputes that he did. And then Hunter Biden violated the contract that he signed. And he violated it because he was a crackhead who was having an affair with his sister-in-law, at least three of his employees, and countless strippers and hookers, while at the same time trying to execute an illicit business deals with the Chinese. So he just didn't have time.
And that's why they don't want the information on that laptop ever seeing the light of day. You know what they did with James O'Keefe from Project Veritas last year? When James O'Keefe was the one who actually got his hands on the diary of Ashley Biden? You know what they did to James O'Keefe? They sent the FBI into his home at midnight. And they smashed the doors down and they ransacked his place and they treated him like an absolute criminal. And the reason why they did that was because James O'Keefe had Ashley Biden's diary. Can you imagine what possibly could happen? I mean, we're talking about the Hunter Biden laptop. And we've seen some incriminating pictures from a moral perspective on Hunter Biden. But can you imagine what would happen to the person or to the people who were to take the actual information showing transfer of funds, financial transactions between the Biden family and China, between the Biden family and Ukraine? Can you imagine what's going to happen to the person who dares to actually reveal that?
Time to return for his laptops. That makes sense. He was very busy. John Paul McIsaac, meanwhile, being the small business owner, called Hunter Biden again and again and tried to give the laptop back. But Hunter Biden was so busy, he ignored John Paul McIsaac. Watch.
He sort of disappears on you. So he disappears and never comes for that external hard drive that now maintains the data?
So now I'm in possession of his laptop, a backup of his laptop's home folder on an external drive that he provided, and no sign of Hunter. I think I called him again the following weekend or right before the end of the month. I always call customers at the end of the month to collect on out of delinquent bills. And then I think I called him a couple more times over the next month after that. So just no response.
Kept calling him. He was smoking too much crack with too many hookers. He didn't call me back. That was John Paul McIsaac's explanation. So it's kind of hard to blame John Paul McIsaac for this. He tried his best to return the laptop. And yet they are blaming him. In fact, Hunter Biden is demanding the Delaware Attorney General, Kathy Jennings, put that guy, John Paul McIsaac, in jail for what he did. On what grounds? Hunter Biden is the president's son. If he smokes too much crack to follow the terms of the contract he signed, that's not his problem. It's yours. Now, in a normal country, a normal prosecutor would laugh at an argument like that. But Hunter Biden is betting that Delaware Attorney General Kathy Jennings will take that argument very seriously. And he has reason to believe that she will. Because Kathy Jennings is not just the attorney general. She is a longtime party hack ideologue who can be counted on to faithfully do the bidding of Democratic leaders and donors. And even better than that, Kathy Jennings is a longtime friend of the Biden family. In fact, she once worked for Hunter Biden's brother, Bo Biden, and she worships his father, Joe. We're not guessing.
So there you have Hunter giving you the update on the Biden crime family, the Hunter Biden laptop, and the unbelievable powerful forces that are being exerted to keep this story from becoming a story. I think, in my opinion, as far as American politics go, there is no bigger story in America. This is 10 times bigger than the Chinese spy balloon. This is 10 times bigger than any other story, because what it shows you is that the current administration is using their power in much the same way of what you would see in a third world country like Cuba or Venezuela. Truth is being suppressed and justice is being denied. The criminals are in charge of the organization. They know that if the information on that laptop ever actually gets out in a way that you can print it, show it, prove it, send it to people, that is the end of anyone and everything connected to the Biden administration. But they've already shown their eagerness, their willingness, and their appetite to fight this thing. I mean, look, we've been hearing about Russian collusion for 6.5 years now. When do we reach the point where they stop the charade? Well, the answer is we don't reach the point. Because if the charade stops, well, then the entire house comes crumbling down. And they won't allow that to happen. That can't happen. So it's not going to happen. So if you're waiting for justice, you just might have to wait for the second advent when King Jesus comes back, because there's not a whole lot of justice that's taking place in America right now. And by and large, I think Tucker is very, very correct when he compares what's going on with the Biden administration to a third world country. And it's very angering, and it's very frustrating. But look, this is where we are. Now the end begins. What do we call it? We We call it the front lines of the end times. And why do we do that? Because we're in the end times. Because we are watching the rising spirit of Antichrist. We are watching the beginning of sorrows. And it is, I mean, things really are just getting started. And already, it's impossible to try to keep up with it. Amanda in the chat room was saying, after all this news, we need some encouragement. And we do need encouragement, and I will do my best to give that encouragement before the program's over. But let me tell you something. Daniel 7:25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, talking about Antichrist, fulfilling Isaiah 14. And he, Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High, God, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hands until a time and times and the dividing of times, talking about the last 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble. And Daniel says that this is the time that for the people who find themselves in that time, it is going to wear them out. I've been dealing with my COVID symptoms for about just about 4 weeks now. And I am worn out with the coughing. I am worn out with not feeling 100%. And that's 4 weeks. Can you imagine what it's going to be like for the people in the time of Jacob's trouble? Year number one, year number two, year number three. And with each passing year, it gets worse and worse and worse. And then halfway through that first 3.5 years, what Jesus said would happen in Matthew chapter 24 happens. Matthew chapter 24 says this. When ye, in verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Can you imagine living in that time? You talk about being worn out. You talk about when is this going to be over? And Jesus in the same section says, and if that time wasn't shortened, then no flesh would be saved. Well, what we're watching now, what we're experiencing right now, usually I do my lead story and then I do the other stories. But today we just got started on the other stories first. And our lead story today, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Abraham Accords. We're talking about the Abrahamic family house. We're talking about the Constitution of Chrislam. And that's our main story for today. But I guess the Lord just wanted it reversed today. He wanted it flipped around. But the encouraging part about all of this is that when you're watching these things take place and you're seeing the rising spirit of Antichrist and you're witnessing and living through the beginning of sorrows in a very real perspective, that's the encouragement. Because if the negative prophecy about the Bible is true, well, then the positive prophecy about the Bible is true. And so I want you to be encouraged today as we talk about these things. America is collapsing. America is under the judgment of God. And so America is acting like a nation that has lost its way. America is acting as a nation that has no foundation. Because we don't. But that's encouraging. because the Bible says that there has to be a cataclysmic change that's going to take place right before the rapture. So that's the encouraging part. Now, the other encouraging part, and let me encourage you with this. A couple of days ago, we celebrated publishing 10,000 articles on the end times, connecting current events and breaking news with Bible prophecy. We celebrated the unbelievable milestone of having published 10,000 articles that have been read by over 100 million people. That is a huge milestone. You want something to encourage you? That is encouraging. That God would expand our borders and enlarge our coasts, that we could reach an audience of that size. So, what I decided to do to celebrate that was to have a 100-item sale in the bookstore with deep discounts. I'm talking about 20%, 25%, 35%, in some cases 50%. And these are 100 of our best-selling items. And I encourage each and every one of you to visit the bookstore this weekend. Go to BibleBeliever.com and check out this sale. And these books and Bibles and study helps, these are all the ones that I've been using for decades. You know, people are very kind sometimes, and every once in a while somebody will tell me, wow, you really have a lot of knowledge about the Bible. You really understand Bible doctrine. Well, that's because I have a King James Bible, and I've been reading really, really good Bible commentaries for about 25 years. And I've had some really good Bible teachers like Dr. Ruckman. So I encourage you, go to BibleBeliever.com sometime this weekend. The sale's going to be on all weekend long. It's going to go till midnight on Sunday. And get yourself some of these books and commentaries and study helps. Dispensational Truth, Ruckman's Revelation. Get these books. They will help you to further your understanding of Scripture, to learn more about rightly dividing, and to get a deeper understanding of dispensations. So I encourage you. Now look, I don't work at the bookstore, and the ladies that work there do a fantastic, unbelievable job, and we are blessed to have them doing that job. Lori Ann's the manager of the store, and she does really, really well. But this particular sale, I kind of exercised my privilege as boss, and I stepped in and I told the team, I want to make this sale myself. And the reason for that was not ego, it was not pride. The reason for that is I wanted to handpick books that were meaningful to me personally. And as a Bible teacher and as a Baptist pastor, I wanted to select every single one of these items because I know that they will help you in your study of the preserved Word of God. So I encourage you, go to BibleBeliever.com sometime this weekend and take advantage of these sales. Take advantage of these heavy discounts. I don't really care about making the money. I don't really care about making a profit. I honestly don't. What I care about is you guys getting the books that you need to help you to learn more about the Bible. That is my goal. That's my secret agenda. So go to BibleBeliever.com. This sale is going to be on all weekend long, and get yourself some of these amazing books. All right. And with that, that was the little commercial for the bookstore. But we have an incredible advancement in the Abraham Accords. And let's do a little Bible study now. And let's take a look. Turn to Psalm 83. Turn to Psalm 83. And this is a psalm that I have always likened to the Six-Day War, because this is exactly what it looks like it's describing. And let's just read the first six verses, eight verses. Let's just read the first eight verses of Psalm 83. And let's do a little Bible study now, and let's see if we can connect the dots between the Abraham Accords, the one world religion of Chrislam, and the Declaration of Human Fraternity, which is an official United Nations holiday tomorrow. Every February 4th is the official UN-sanctioned Day of Human Fraternity. And I want to show you in the next half an hour, we're going to do a little Bible study, going to do a little preaching, and I want to show you how all these things are connected, and then I'm going to give you some headlines from the news, and we're going to see if we can make some sense out of all this. Psalm 83, verse 1, a song or psalm of Asaph. Keep not thou silence, O God, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Now who are these people? The tabernacles of Edom, and the Ishmaelites, of Moab, and the Hagarines, Gebal, and Ammon, and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Aser also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot, and then here it is. Highlight it, underline it, put a star next to it, put arrows in the margin pointing to it. Selah. And if you've been coming here for any length of time, you know what that word Selah means. I don't have time to go into that today, but I'm going to post a link to that in the chat room. That word Selah is pointing you to the time of Jacob's trouble. And anywhere in your Bible, and if you have a King James Bible, that word Selah is going to appear exactly 75 times. If you have an NIV Bible, and I hope that you don't, but if you have an NIV Bible, that word Selah is going to appear exactly zero times. Now, why would the Laodicean apostates at the New International Version editors board, why would they want to remove all 75 places of the word Selah? Because that word Selah is showing you in your King James Bible verses that are going to be fulfilled during the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, when I first got saved almost 32 years ago, and I attended churches, even Baptist churches, for the first couple of years before I found out about rightly dividing and dispensational truth, I was always told that that word Selah means to pause and meditate. Now, that may be true, but from a doctrinal perspective and from a prophecy perspective, that word Selah is trying to grab your attention And it is showing you that these verses are going to be fulfilled during the time of Jacob's trouble, which includes the 3.5 year time of the Great Tribulation. So, in Psalm 83, we see something that, while it sounds like the Six-Day War, was not the Six-Day War. Because that word Selah, in verse 8, Aser also was joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot, Selah. That word Selah is telling you that everything from verse 1 through verse 8 is going to be fulfilled during the time of Jacob's trouble. So the first thing that I want you to know is there is an absolute... Now, this is not my opinion. I'm giving you Bible now. If you believe Psalm 83, if you believe that Asaph wrote the words of God, then there is absolutely a Muslim conspiracy coming for the Jewish people. There is no question about it. Psalm 83 shows you a massive conspiracy launched by the Muslims. Verse 3 says they have taken crafty counsel against thy people, meaning they're using trickery. That's what that means. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. No, I'm sorry. Isaiah 28. Isaiah chapter 28. Starting in verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Israel was to have a king. Isaiah is talking about a period of time when there would be no king in Israel. And instead of a king, they would have a group of people that Isaiah terms scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. And what is that group of people doing? Verse 15 gives you the answer. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, the tribulation, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. So I submit to you, and this is nothing new, I have said this many times for the past 2.5 years. I submit to you once again, the Abraham Accords is what Psalm 83 is talking about. The Abraham Accords is what Isaiah 28 is talking about. Now turn to Daniel chapter 9. And I submit to you that the Abraham Accords is what Daniel 9:27 is talking about. Daniel 9:27 says, and he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant, the Abraham Accords, with many for 1 week, that's 7 years. And in the midst of that week, that's 3.5 years into it, he, Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And Daniel 9:27 is directly referencing that verse in Matthew that I just gave you a few minutes ago, Matthew 24:15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, tomorrow, February 4th, is the United Nations celebration of the Declaration of Human Fraternity. And I'm going to read to you right now from the United Nations website. Here it is. International Day of Human Fraternity, February 4th. We need, perhaps more now than ever, to recognize the valuable contribution of all religions, all humanity, among all religious groups, to make improved awareness and understanding of the common values shared by all humankind. And then the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, he says this: the Declaration of Human Fraternity, co-authored by His Holiness Pope Francis and His Eminence, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar Sheikh Ahmed El-Tayeb, is a model for interfaith harmony and human solidarity. Let us all take inspiration and renew our commitment to stand together as one human family. That is happening tomorrow. That is what the United Nations is celebrating tomorrow. Now, the Declaration of Human Fraternity was made possible by Mohammed bin Zayed. And this picture, and I'm going to put this picture into the chat room, I want to show you the moment that the Declaration of Human Fraternity was signed by Sheikh El-Tayeb and Pope Francis. I want you to look at that picture that I just put into the chat room. Obviously, the man in the middle is Pope Francis. The man wearing black to his right is Sheikh El-Tayeb. But look at who is to the left of Pope Francis in that picture. Does that man look familiar to you? That's Mohammed bin Zayed. Is that a coincidence? No, that is not a coincidence. Shortly after the Declaration of Human Fraternity was signed, Pope Francis appointed Mohammed bin Zayed as the leader of the Declaration of Human Fraternity Foundation. And one of the very, very first things one of the very first things that Mohammed bin Zayed did after he was appointed the head of the Declaration of Human Fraternity Council, Mohammed bin Zayed laid out plans in Abu Dhabi to create the Abrahamic Family House. Now, you need to understand that Jared Kushner did not create the Abraham Accords. Donald Trump did not create the Abraham Accords. Would you like to know who created the Abraham Accords? Mohammed bin Zayed created the Abraham Accords. Just like Mohammed bin Zayed helped Pope Francis to create the Declaration of Human Fraternity. So, Benjamin Netanyahu is in Paris right now, and he's been meeting with Emmanuel Macron for the past 48 hours. The number one thing that they're talking about is the nuclear program of the nation of Iran. And the number two thing that they're talking about is the Abraham Accords. Benjamin Netanyahu said that the most important thing for Israel right now are the Abraham Accords. Take a listen.
Prime Minister Netanyahu said that the world is hung up on peace negotiations with the Palestinians and pointed to the Abraham Accords as the way to normalize relations with the Arab world. Speaking to CNN at the end of the U.S. Secretary of State's Blinken visit to the Middle East, Netanyahu said that after peace is achieved with the rest of the Arab world, we can circle back to seeking a workable peace with the Palestinians. ILTV's Steve Leibovitz reports.
When U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken visited Ramallah yesterday, he told PA leader Mahmoud Abbas of continued U.S. commitment to the peace process and the two-state solution. Prime Minister Netanyahu made clear that reaching an agreement with the Palestinians is not a top priority. Netanyahu said that while he was out of power, the security situation deteriorated and corrections need to be made.
What we've encountered in the last 2 years, including in the outgoing government, was a doubling of terrorist attacks from the Palestinian areas because the Palestinian Authority was not really exercising its power to fight the terrorists. So the Israeli army had to come in. And we had to come in the last few weeks, too. All right.
So there you have Benjamin Netanyahu talking about how their priority are the Abraham Accords. Now, I don't know of any other website that is successfully connecting. And if you do, please let me know in the chat room. I want you to post in the chat room if you know of any other Bible prophecy websites that have successfully connected the Abraham Accords, the Declaration of Human Fraternity, to Mohammed bin Zayed, to Pope Francis, as the conspiracy and confederacy that is going to bring down the nation of Israel in the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, I have heard of other prophecy websites talking about a piece of that or part of that, but I haven't heard anybody else showing you. Now, these things that I'm showing you, it's not my opinion. Mohammed bin Zayed, go to our website. Go to the Middle East section. Mohammed bin Zayed has his own section. The Abraham Accords have their own section. Chrislam has its own section. We have hundreds of articles about this topic. Nobody else is talking about how Mohammed bin Zayed is confederate with Pope Francis to lure the nation of Israel into the Abraham Accords. And you know what's going to happen once Israel is fully in? That's the multi-nation Muslim confederacy that is going to take down the nation of Israel and as they go into the time of Jacob's trouble. And once they have a taste of the billions of dollars of profit that will be made from all these nations conducting trade with Israel, once Israel gets this idea that if we sign the Abraham Accords, we can have peace in the Middle East. There is no peace. No peace, my God. No peace to the wicked. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. That's Jeremiah 30, 5 through 7. And they shall not escape. And so what we are watching right now, to me, is absolutely mind-blowing. We are watching a Muslim prince, Mohammed bin Zayed, being confederate with the Roman Catholic Pope, Pope Francis, creating documents for nations to sign. The United Nations has officially adopted the Declaration of Human Fraternity as part of their platform of how they deal with world issues. And so what we see is we see that the Abraham Accords and the Declaration of Human Fraternity, You put all these things together, and what do you have? You have the one world religion of Chrislam. You know what somebody told me a couple of years ago? Now the End Begins was one of the very first websites, and I'm not bragging, I'm just stating a fact. We've been around for 14 years. We didn't just get here. But Now the End Begins was one of the very first websites anywhere to talk about the one world religion of Chrislam. And going as far back as 2011, 2012, I would tell people that Chrislam is counterfeit Christianity combined with Islam. And you know what people told me? People told me that that would never happen because Muslims would never agree to work with the Roman Catholic Church. My, how things have changed over the past 10 years. And what we see is we see not only Muslims working with the Roman Catholic Church, we see a confederacy. We see a confederacy between Islam, and it's led by its most influential and highest ranking leaders. We see a confederacy between Islam and the Roman Catholic Church. Not only that, they are creating documents like the Declaration of Human Fraternity, documents like the Abraham Accords. And it is absolutely not only changing the religious world, it is changing the political world as well. Now, turn to Revelation 17. Revelation 17 shows you a religious system. That's what Revelation 17 shows you. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The names of blasphemy, that's Isaiah 14. Seven heads and 10 horns. That is the 10-nation confederacy. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. That's the Roman Catholic Church. And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. This is talking about the Roman Catholic Church in Revelation 17. That is the spiritual aspect. That is the spiritual kingdom. But Revelation 18, well, that gives you the political aspect. That gives you the other side of the coin. You have the Roman Catholic Church, and then on the other side, you have the Vatican, which is a political kingdom. Revelation 18 says, verse 3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth," that's politics, "have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." Now, Revelation 17 shows you a spiritual kingdom. Revelation 18 shows you a political kingdom. And you put these things together, and that's exactly what the Abraham Accords is doing. That's exactly what the Declaration of Human Fraternity is doing. It is changing things from a religious perspective and a spiritual perspective. That's Revelation 17. And then, because the United Nations got involved, it is changing things from a political perspective as well. So, what you're watching is you are watching the one world religion of Chrislam led by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed and the Roman Catholic Pope, Pope Francis, and they have significantly changed the spiritual and political landscape of the entire world. And with each passing year, it gets stronger and it gets deeper. And that's exactly where we are right now. So what do you have? You have French President Emmanuel Macron, and he is meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and he is dangling the Abraham Accords in front of his face. Netanyahu, he is so desirous of creating a strong and prosperous nation of Israel that he has signed on to the Abraham Accords in the hopes of obtaining that goal. But he is not going to obtain that goal. The Abraham Accords is a trap. The Abraham Accords is a trick. And the whole point is to lure the nation of Israel into a false sense of security. And that's exactly what's happening. Let me show you this. I think I have this image here. Take a look at this that I found on Twitter. Professor Jamal Sanad al-Suwaidi. February 4th, 2023, the world celebrates the International Day of Human Fraternity. On the day in which the UAE came with an initiative, which is part of its many tolerant initiatives. And look what Rabbi Levi Dutchman had to say. One of the greatest achievements from this day is the soon-to-be-ready Abraham Family House in Abu Dhabi, a space that provides a platform for all Abrahamic faiths to work together, to learn from one another, and to celebrate our common heritage. And right there, you see that the trap has been successfully laid. And all those Bible verses that I gave you, from the book of Daniel, from the prophet Isaiah, from Psalm 83, read that article about Selah, and you will see very, very quickly that the trap has been set for Israel. Israel has taken the bait, and there is no going back from this point. It is impossible to change the trajectory that has been started. Now, we are waiting for an announcement any day now that the Abrahamic Family House is open. I have heard through some back channels that various heads of states and dignitaries are already being given private tours of the Abrahamic Family House. So my own personal opinion, I believe that construction is done. I don't have any proof of that. That's just what I feel. But any day now, we are waiting for news showing you that the Abrahamic Family House, created by Mohammed bin Zayed, created by Pope Francis, and it is going to be the headquarters for the one world religion of Chrislam. Now, very few other people are talking about this, but I have given you the smoking gun today. I have connected for you all the Bible prophecy showing you that these things are true. It is happening. And Amanda asked an hour ago, how about something encouraging? Well, I can't think of anything more encouraging than seeing the one world religion of Chrislam assembling itself, not after the rapture, We are getting a preview and a taste of that right here and right now. And that means that we are so close to the rapture that it is a kitten's whisker away from taking place. And this is why we call ourselves to the fight. This is why we do what we do. This is why we have our free Bible program. And I'm going to have an update on the free Bible program next week. I've been a little bit out of the loop, as you know. But this is why we do what we do. And Lori Ann's going to post a link in the chat room how you can get involved with the free Bible program. We need your prayers. We need your financial support. We have a lot of money we have to raise because we have 1 million Bibles that need to go out. We have already sent out over 116,000 of that 1 million Bibles. And we need your help to hit the next milestone. So please consider becoming a donor to our free Bible program and to the Bibles Behind Bars program. Thank you for tuning in today. Remember, no Sunday service this Sunday. Please pray for me. I will be meeting with the people from North City Baptist Church. And that's a big, big, big meeting. So please keep that in your prayers. Lord willing, we will have a Bible study Sunday night. And in the meantime, go to BibleBeliever.com. Take advantage of this incredible sale that we have at the bookstore. Get yourself some Bible commentaries. We have the entire collection of Ruckman Reference Bibles. We have the entire collection of the Dr. Ruckman Bible commentaries. And we have it for $150 off if you buy the entire collection at one time. You can save yourself nearly $150, which is an amazing thing. So go to BibleBeliever.com, get yourself some study help, some commentaries, get yourself some Bibles, I hope that will be a blessing to you. Thank you for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday night for another episode of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Says, God bless you when you see her.